Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In this episode, Joel Warnocking shares his profound journey through addiction and recovery. Joel is the director of 423 Communities, a ministry that is radically committed to helping others overcome all forms of unhealthy sexuality, restoring healthy sexuality and intimacy with others through confessional recovery communities. Joel opens up about his own history with pornography addiction and the isolating shame that came with it. He highlights how group work played a crucial role in his healing process, emphasizing the importance of community, grace, and accountability. We explore the essentials of a supportive group environment, the balance between grace and structure, and the need for action in recovery. Joel's story and insights remind us that recovery thrives in the context of supportive relationships. To learn more about Joel and his ministry's resources, visit 423communities.org. For even more resources, visit bebroken.org or check out the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And as always, friends, we'd love it if you would rate and review the podcast after listening in order to help others find it. Now let's go ahead and dive into today's inspirational and insightful conversation with Joel. Well, all right, Joel Warnocking, welcome to the program.
It is good to be here, my friend. It's been a long time coming, I feel like. It is so good to be here with you this morning.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I've realized with ministries that we've been doing a lot of parallel work and we've been connected with maybe for a while, then sometimes it dawns on me, oh yeah, I haven't had that person on the podcast yet. So my apologies for not having you on sooner, but I'd love for you, before we get into talking specifically about our topic today, really about, you know, group work and the value that group work has to a person's transformation journey, can you just tell us a little bit of just even your own backstory and kind of how you got into this space of ministry?
Yeah. How long do we have? Is it a couple hours for this podcast?
Yeah.
You know, my story, and this is how I tell it to a lot of our men, it begins like most of the guys in our program, right? You know, about 8 years old, I came across, some sexually explicit material, and that just really took me on a journey through the course of my life. Where it was this thing that I consistently went back towards whenever there was pressure, right? And so that went for me from junior high, high school, college. I went to Bible school for pastoral leadership and music ministry, traveled internationally with a signed Christian record label, doing ministry and preaching and teaching and doing all this big Christian role model stuff while there was this consistent thread of addiction to pornography. And so for me, it was just as I continued to do more and more ministry and work, the shame of this underlying message that, man, if people truly knew what was going on inside of my story, I'd be disqualified, disbarred, whatever the fear was. And so I just isolated myself and lived this double life for my whole, young adulthood and even into my marriage of lying to my wife, of telling her, like a lot of men do, that this was a struggle, but that I had, you know, it was in the past and it'd always be a struggle, but I had overcome it, just bold-faced lying, until about 18 months into our marriage, where for some reason, the Holy Spirit worked inside of my life to confess to my wife, Rachel, and it was kind of geared off of this sermon that a pastor preached about his own journey with recovery. And he said this phrase that you'll never be fully loved until you're fully known. And I realized sitting in this audience, having preached hundreds of messages on that same topic, that there was not a single person in this entire world that truly knew me, and that I had even isolated myself so much from even the love of God that I didn't even know, I didn't even allow myself to be known and loved by God. And so that rocked me, and I realized that I was made to be loved and known. And so I confessed to my wife. Unfortunately, we weren't really in a safe community to find support. And so what we did, what most people do, right? I just brought Rachel into my isolation and into my sin management space. And we tried to just white knuckle and process through that. That lasted a few weeks, like it does for most people, until my story really took a hard turn. My compulsive addiction that I had built almost, 18 years of compulsive addiction to pornography found a different outlet, right? And I found myself being arrested for indecent exposure, really in the culmination of doing ministry work. And so for me, that was the start of my recovery journey, where I all of a sudden had no secrets. There was no place to hide. There was no isolation. And every single bit of my story was out there for the world to see. And it was in that place that I first, I believe, came in contact with the grace of God, you know, where he showed himself to me in the midst of my mess, in the midst of the worst day of my life, that he was present, that he was active, that he had always seen me, that he had always known me, that I was no longer isolated or stuck in secrecy, but was truly and fully known by this good, loving God in the midst of my mess. And so it was from that place that I started my recovery journey. I moved back to Portland, Oregon. I got connected with the ministry that I now run, 423 Communities out of Portland, Oregon, and really just encountered the love and grace of God through community, a recovery community, where I could process through all of this craziness that my life had been so far. And so that's what brought me to this place. By no strength or knowledge or, you know, heightened intellect, but doing the hard work of recovery and finding my place in the position to just love on the men, women, and families that we get to encounter and bring them towards the grace of God through recovery. And so that's a little bit of my story.
Yeah. Thank you, Joel. Appreciate you sharing that and leaning into that as God has directed you along that path. So, you know, the first question that I want to ask you really about group stuff is why is group work so essential and important on a person's recovery journey when they've had all kinds of patterns and, you know, addictive patterns, brokenness? Why is group work so essential?
Yeah, and I think, you know, something that I came to realize early on in my recovery journey is that so many of the men that come into this space were in that same place, right? Where they were isolated and set apart from relationship with others because of their shame and their sin. And so when they step into community, something pretty dramatic happens. And there's something that we get to be a part of inside of this group experience. You know, for the sake of this podcast, I won't go into just the depth of, you know, the theology behind, man, we were created at our very core level to exist inside of community, right? We were created from that relational center that God himself exists in, right? And so our very DNA as image bearers of God is to participate in relationship with one another, being fully known and fully loved. And this is where we find the beginning of healing to happen, right? And every single person that steps into recovery has these core longings, right? They know they were created to be seen, known, loved, recognized, cherished, and yet they fear so deeply of being unwanted, of being seen as unworthy, of being rejected. And so these very things that we desire, right, to be connected and known are the very same things that push us back from stepping into community. And so when we get the opportunity to step inside of a relationship with one another, we base a lot of our group right off of Hebrews 12:1. And it just speaks to this. If you don't know it, therefore, since you are surrounded, right, fully encompassed by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely and run with endurance the race set before us, right? So when we reflect on this verse, it just says this, right? We are surrounded by community. And it's by participating inside of this community of being encompassed and gathered around that that shame removes. It's in the presence of others that shame and the sin that so easily clings helps us to run that race set before us. And so we get that opportunity to become that great cloud of witnesses for one another so that our presence, our literal presence inside of group, is that force that helps remove that shame, that helps remove that isolation so that they can begin to see clearly where they need to go in this race set before them.
So talk for a second about the first time you genuinely stepped into a group community yourself, and often what are the feelings and the fears that many men have the first time they step into that environment?
Absolutely. I mean, you can probably remember it yourself when you started your own work. For me, it was everything that preceded that first day of stepping into a group were countless years of confession and repentance between God and I, right? Repentance without moving, or confession without actual repentance, right? The pleading with God to remove this addiction, right? It's literally about as close as you can get to death without succumbing to it, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is one of the more difficult things that a guy will ever do. And so when we welcome a guy into group, the first thing that we say is, as a brother, I am so proud of you for having the courage and the humility to step into this space, because they carry some of these lies with them for so many years, right? That there's no hope that things can change. That they truly believe at the depth of their being that they are unlovable, that they are irredeemable. You know, they've been isolated from being fully known or loved their entire lives, right? They think that they are the only ones that have ever done the things that they've done. They've maybe never heard the words, "I'm proud of you," from another man in their life. They've never been emotionally honest with anything inside of their story. And so when I stepped into that group for the first time, all of those feelings were so present and tangible in my own world, where in the presence of this group of guys, it was 10 guys sitting in a circle, and they're all just staring at you, right? And there's this affect that happens when we get the opportunity to sit across from another man, one, share our story of how God's grace has intersected radically into our own journey. But by inviting them into our story and then turning around and inviting them to share their story, all of those lies of being unloved, all those lies of being too shameful to be present inside of a community, all those lies that they are the only ones that have ever struggled with this in the history of mankind, just begin to brutally crash to the ground. And it's one of my favorite moments of leading these groups. I have the opportunity to launch a lot of our groups that we start, man, is just to see this brother come in who is physically and emotionally just covered in shame. You can see it physically weighing him down. And as this group witnesses him, right, as this group steps around him, this great cloud of witnesses surrounds him and brings him into relationship with the group, his body begins to lift, right? His face begins to lift. His eyes begin to open as he encounters what it means to be fully known with all of the dirty secrets of his past and be embraced and loved by this community. And so that's one of the things that we teach all of our communities and our leaders is remember when you stepped into group for the first time and what it took for you to get to that moment. That is what this group has the ability to help repair and rebuild and restore in that moment.
Yeah. So let's talk then a little bit about what are just some essentials in terms of maybe just the structure of a really good group experience. Because, you know, and also with that, how does a healthy structure coincide and work in tandem with a grace-based approach. Because sometimes people see that as an either or. Either you have high structure or you have grace, but they can't mix together. Can you talk about some of the essentials of how all that comes together in a group experience?
Absolutely. Yeah. So kind of based off of that Hebrews 12, right, there's this practice of witnessing. And so we have a whole training on what does it mean to be a witnessing presence. And that just means attunement, walking with someone in co-regulation, helping them unpack their story. For us, our job is not to be the fixers, right? Our job is not to be, you know, I think it's easy for guys, especially in recovery, where every problem that someone brings in is a nail and you're the hammer. And so group can a lot of times look like a bunch of guys hitting each other on the head with the hammer over and over again until they get fixed. For us, the practice of removing shame, the practice of getting people to engage in their story and the narrative of what God is doing inside of their story involves what we call no leading questions, right? There's no fixing. There's no offering cheap advice. There's no preaching at. There's no lecturing. And a lot of times it's counterintuitive, but the core of healing for us is inviting people to step into that relationship of grace that God offers, removing that shame, and then becoming what we call a curious explorer, right? I'm going to step into your story and help you move with grace through all the difficult, broken, traumatic episodes that have been a part of your life. And it's in the process of, with a whole community of grace-filled, loving, embodied presence of Jesus people walking alongside this brother, that this brother can begin to see the elements of his story where change needs to take place. And through encouragement and exploration, the community can help that individual move towards health. And so we do a ton of training. We have a bunch of documents on, hey, what does a non-leading question look like? What does it look like to help walk someone through their story with story work to help them uncover the parts for themselves and be a person who asks more of the why questions than the what questions, right? You know, not the, do you think you need to put that away? Do you think you should do this? Hey, have you ever considered doing this or that, right? It's more of, why are these elements a part of your story? And where can the gospel of grace intersect inside of your pain in a way that helps you move towards healing in these different areas? And then on top of that, we pair this witnessing practice with equipping with these essential elements. And so we go through clinical reparative work, right? We go through workbooks. We use resources from dozens and dozens of different people who have done significant work in this area to equip one another, right? To run a race, you have to train, right? You can't just run that race set before you with no training, you know, no practice, no persons helping you be a healthy, conditioned individual. And so through the practice of this witnessing grace-based group and equipping one another with resources inside of that space, it really provides a holistic experience for someone to move through their recovery journey without getting hit on the head with the hammer a bunch of times, reintroducing them to the shame that has been a part of their story since, you know, before they can even remember. So it's a little bit of abstract concept that's a little different than a lot of recovery programs out there. But it's the way that we have found to introduce people to the grace of Jesus inside of their recovery journey.
Now, when it comes to transformation, which is really what recovery is all about, it's being transformed from one form and one state to another. We're learning to live in a whole new way. There's movement, there's action that's involved in that. There's a target that you're aiming for. There's a need for accountability and all of that. What do some of those, what has typically been referenced sometimes in the recovery world is some of those harder edge realities. What does that look like in the group environment? Because I can already hear potentially some wives out there who've experienced a lot of pain in their betrayal and going, okay, up here in my head, Joel, I can get what you're trying to say about trying to remove shame and trying to, you know, help a person not hitting them with the hammer to just because they're a nail. But there's also a part there I can hear them saying, but my goodness, what are you doing to really, you know, move towards action that is transformative rather than just a place where guys can come and feel good?
Absolutely. And I think that is a lot of the balancing act, right, of what we're trying to accomplish inside of our community. One thing that a guy will never get away from inside of our group is having to take account of where he is at in his story. When you go to share your week, and you're talking about, hey, where were you in your recovery? What happened? What specifically went on during your processing through this week? And if you come up with nothing, this group is trained to ask you questions, right? This group is trained to help pull apart your story and dig to those unwanted places that need to find healing. And so it's very difficult to slide through a group and not be confronted with those places that need to change. There's a beautiful practice inside of group therapy, as you know, as this brother over here shares, right? I get to engage in his story and learn from where he has been going, right? And as I share, he is learning, and so on and so forth. For 10 members inside of a group, you have this process we just call the upward spiral. That is, as you're pursuing health and I'm helping you pursue health, and you're watching me pursue health, we're pulling each other upward in our recovery journey. And so to truly remain stagnant inside of a recovery group is very awkward. It's very difficult to be the guy who's stuck in that pattern of relapse. And then we do have a practice called our Care and Corrections Pathway, and it's for our leaders to implement. When a member or another leader, right, shows signs of being stuck, everyone has experienced that, where you just kind of hit that, maybe that plateau mark, and you're not making forward progress, to, through grace, through relationship, and through community, approach this individual and say, hey, we've been unpacking the why, we've been removing that shame. Now that we're in this safe space, what needs to happen next for you to get unstuck? And so there is a practice in place for that guy who maybe does hit a rut and he's there for a couple weeks in a row, for our community to lovingly step towards this brother or sister for our women's groups, right? And say, hey, how can we equip you with some of those practical steps to maybe remove some of those areas of your life that are causing too much temptation, that are causing too much relapse in your journey, and help you move towards health, right? So there's that little bit of that leading hard edge of, hey, we're not going to let you stay stuck. And because this group is so safe and grace-based, you can trust me that I have your best intentions at heart, right? It's not day one, you didn't walk in and I hit you on the head with the hammer, so the next time you share, you're expecting a hammer, right? You were welcomed, embraced, and fully wrapped into this process. And so when I come to you with a, hey, brother, I've identified the speck in your eye, can I help you remove it? You trust me, because I've been walking with you for months and months through your story with tender-hearted compassion and attunement to help you find that healthy space.
Yeah, that's good. Now, we all know that have been in this space of ministry and helping people break free from various unwanted addictive patterns. We all know that the vast majority of people that come into these environments, their primary first expectation in terms of what they think the goal is just getting clean or sober, right? Why is that not the actual goal? And can you talk about what maybe the better goal is for somebody traveling through this recovery journey?
Absolutely. Yeah. If it's even in a part of our mission,
by the way, not to diminish getting sober as a bad thing, but it's not the ultimate goal, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would pray that every single person would immediately have sobriety, but sobriety is not the goal, because sobriety is not necessarily the issue. Bad sexual behavior isn't necessarily the main underlying issue. Pornography and acting out is simply a symptom of medicating and processing through what's going on internally. And so our focus, it's even in some of our mission statement stuff, and it sounds weird for an addiction recovery ministry, like our main goal is not to just heal bad sexual behavior. If it was just to remove the behavior, the underlying reasons of why you got there in the first place would still be alive and active, and there would be some other area where those things began to surface. And so our number one goal, right, is to find those places inside of their story that have been wounded and damaged, whether that's abuse or trauma or neglect or the lacking of relationship for a long period of time, and help them unpack how that has shaped their identity and where they have inserted pornography as a device to just simply help them get by. In the process of doing that healing, right, in the process of unpacking those places, of going to the past and walking through story work, bad sexual behavior, unhealthy sexual behavior, problematic sexual behavior, however you want to label it, that stuff begins to fall off. As you do that work of finding inner healing and reconnecting to your identity as just a human, right, but also your identity as a son of God, right, and as your identity as a member of community, as you find those spaces, unhealthy behaviors don't have a place anymore. There's no reason to have them be a part of your story.
Yeah. How important is it as part of the journey to plant seeds that this person who is going through this transforming process is actually going to eventually be an asset to another person's story? How important is it to plant that seed of the sort of paying it forward or the sharing or becoming a helper in the space rather than just somebody who's only receiving help?
Absolutely. I love, this will be a plug for your book, but I've been reading through this with lots of different notes. And I just love the way that you you pair that understanding that this isn't just about you. What got us here in the first place, right, is that we were self-focused. And one of my favorite, I almost got it tattooed on my body, right? But it's this phrase from St. Augustine. And he coined this term of how we have separated ourselves from relationship with God and others. It's in Latin, I'll probably butcher it, but it's the in cravatus in se. It's the inward curving humanity, the inward curving self. And that is what got us into these addictive patterns, is that we, like Adam and Eve, right, we rejected the glory of God. Romans talks about that, for the images resembling what? Man and birds, all these different things that we have turned to ourself. And he says that the outflowing of the Holy Spirit indwelt, of reclaiming our identity, of functioning of what it means to be created in the image of God, is the outward flowing self, is the ex cravatus, is the outward curving self. And so as you find health and as you find healing, and in the process of finding healing, you have this ability and this God-created energy, right, to pull and push into others and to be a source that casts this grace, cast this freedom, cast this light into others. That is one of the things that I share with our men, is one of the things that helped me stay sober or find healing in the most substantial way was sharing my story. I've shared that version of my story that I shared at the beginning thousands of times in the last 10 years. Of one, it helps reclaim where my identity is coming from. But every time that I've shared it, almost, there's a few people that, you know, run away from it. But almost every time that I've shared that story of how God intersected into my brokenness with his grace and love, it has brought that other person that much closer to stepping into their own journey of recovery. Of even if they don't struggle with problematic sexual behaviors, it invites them into that journey of finding the grace of God and how it intersects into their life. And all of us, right, if you have received the grace of God, as Paul talks about, we have all received the ministry of reconciliation, right? If you have received the grace of God through Jesus Christ, you have received the ministry of providing this reconciliation for others through the sharing of your story, right? And so this is not just about getting fixed and then going back to life. Because of grace, because of God's story in our story, we have been gifted with this burden to go forth and share that same message. And so for those of us in recovery, your recovery journey does not stop with you. It moves into every single person that exists inside of your world, whether that's your family, your community group, your neighbors. All of those people can be invited into that process of finding God's grace in their story.
Yeah. And one of the beauties of what we learn in recovery in these grace-based safe communities is the principles that are valuable to all people. I often say, and I've had guys that have come through recovery over the years that have said, you know, it seems as if what I learned in recovery would be helpful to anyone. And I'm like, bingo, you got it. I mean, this is not, there's not some uniqueness to like saying, because we've applied these group dynamics and these group principles to a recovery community, that somehow it's not beneficial to anyone else. So let's be careful of saying, kind of creating the us versus them. But yeah, as we wrap up here, Joel, just what are some hopeful next steps that you would invite people into who are listening right now that maybe are not currently plugged into a group, or like you mentioned earlier, they feel stuck maybe in their recovery journey? Just what message would you have for those out there that need to take a next step into group work?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we heavily lean on kind of a threefold approach to recovery, right? One of those being group, right? If you are not plugged into a group of healthy men and women who are pursuing the same restoration and health, I implore you, come talk to us at 423 Community. There's groups all over the place, right? There's different ministries, your own, right, with Be Broken. Get connected with community and find yourself in that place where you can be equipped and encouraged to move towards health. Some other things that we heavily encourage, right, is the practice of the intensive. I got to come be a part of the Gateway to Freedom with Be Broken and just engage in my recovery through such an important and particular lens. It truly set me up, and I've even been doing recovery for a long time, with such a deep understanding of where it is on my journey that I need to be moving forward in my recovery. And then on top of that, layering in seeking professional help where you need it. So the application of getting connected with a counselor is huge as you work to unpack some of these very specific issues inside of group work and inside of your intensive, right? You are going to uncover some of those very specific issues that really have a place inside of a counseling therapist connection where you can do the deep dive and get clinically focused on and really have some of that reparative work get healed. And so kind of that threefold approach. If you don't have any one of those, please reach out to us at 423 Communities with Jonathan, Be Broken. We have resources available to get you connected to healing and move you forward. You don't have to be stuck. You don't have to be in this decade after decade after decade pattern of unhealth. There are resources for you to find support, and that is why we all exist.
Yeah. So share with us, share with our listeners your website and where they can go for that information.
Sure. So they can go to 423communities.org. And so we have group work specifically focused for men, for women's addictions, for spousal betrayal support. And then our program 423 Next helps teens down to 13 years and older who are wrestling with pornography addiction, understanding their sexuality, you know, even just the conversation of, man, what is sexuality? This is a place where they can be in community as a teenager, which is just huge, right? If I had this at 14 years of age, I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now. That can be found at 423next, N-E-X-T.org, and we'd love to be able to help.
Yeah. Well, we will certainly be putting all that info in the show notes. But Joel, thank you for being open with your story, for going where God has led you, and for what you guys are doing with 423. We really are glad you were with us today.
Absolutely, man. It was a pleasure and an honor, and so glad to finally make this connection.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we're going to put a lot of great information in the show notes, especially to help you take your next best step with group work, because we believe that's, you know, I've been doing this for over 21 years, and I will tell you this, transformation only always happens in small group settings. And so it's not, transformation is not a massive event. And it's also not an isolated individual thing. It happens in groups. So please take your next best step and reach out to us. We'll help you do that. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.